Sukkah, Perek Beis, Mishnah Hay, 2:5. The Mishnah will tell two separate stories here, which illustrate the halachas of eating outside of the sukkah. The first says, Maisa, it once happened, Veheviu lol Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai litom esatavshel. They brought some food for Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai to taste on sukkahs. He was outside the sukkah. This food could well have been mazonos type food, like porridge or pasta, etc. Ul Rabban Gamliel, shtei kosavos udli shamayim. They brought also food for Rabban Gamliel, which consisted of two dates and a pitcher of water. Va'amru, and they said, notwithstanding the fact that we could eat these foods outside of the sukkah, the tavshil, because it's achilas arai, it's a snack, or a ta'ima is a taste, so that's not a formal eating. So even though the bracha is mazonos, it doesn't matter. One could eat, have a taste outside of the sukkah. And similarly, the two dates, even though two dates are more than a kabetza, they're more than an egg's amount, but still they're fruit, and fruit is always considered to be achilas arai. So that being the case, they could have eaten them outside of the sukkah, but nevertheless, va'amru, they said, ha'alum la'sukkah, let's bring them up to the sukkah. The sukkahs were typically situated on their rooftops, and therefore they said, lift it up to the sukkah, and we'll eat it over there. The point being that although me'ikra din, they could have eaten these foods outside of the sukkah, they opted not to, and this illustrates the point that even when one is not obligated to eat inside the sukkah, because it's teishvuk in taduru, we darshan that it's the same way you live in your home, and the same way people take a taste of food or eat a fruit outside of his home without compunction, so too one can eat such foods outside of the sukkah. But nevertheless, they were strict upon themselves, and the principle is that although it's not considered to be arrogant to, you know, eat in the sukkah even when one is permitted not to eat in the sukkah. To the contrary, it's hareza meshubach, it's praiseworthy to eat in the sukkah when you can. That's the first story. The second story will actually show the other extreme. Ukeshenasna lo Rabbi Tzadok, when they gave bread to Rabbi Tzadok, ochel pachos mekabetza, a quantity of bread which was less than a beitza in volume, an egg's amount in volume. So we see he did three separate kulas. This was occurring on Sukkos, and yet he availed himself to the following three leniencies. The first is natalo v'mapa. He took it in a napkin. That is to say, he didn't wash his hands before eating the bread. Instead, he held the bread using some mapa, like a napkin or serviette, something, so he wouldn't make the bread dirty. He didn't want to make the bread dirty because his hands weren't washed. But he also didn't wash his hands with what we would call netilas yadayim, the ritual washing. I'll explain in a moment more. Va'achlo chutz l'sukkah, and he ate that bread outside of the sukkah. Again, since mikra din, it was less than a beitza. It was a achilas arai, a snack, and therefore one could eat outside of the sukkah, and he did. V'lo berach achrav, and he didn't make a brach achrona, meaning birkat amazon, after eating this bread. the diuk is that he certainly did make a bracha rishon. He did say the bracha moti lechem in haaretz, but he didn't do the benching afterwards. Okay, so let's just take all three of these things separately. The first is we're saying it's pachas makabetza. It's less than a beitza. Now, the reason we're going into the less than a beitza issue is because of the benching part of it. As far as eating outside of the sukkah, so as I mentioned the previous Mishnah, the Gemara's illustration was by Abaya that a student, puts some food in his mouth and then he runs off to give the shiur, to listen to the shiur, I should say. So according to the Rambam, the amount that one could put in his mouth is even more than a beitza, and therefore me'ikra din, even a little more than a beitza could be eaten achilas arai of bread outside the sukkah. And that is how the Bar Tanura understand, like the Rambam, that one could even eat a little bit more than a beitza of bread outside of the sukkah. Many disagree, and the halacha is no, one may not eat a beitza or more outside of the sukkah. In any case, so here the Mishnah says, first of all, when he took it, he didn't wash his hands. Instead, he just he just held it in a napkin. The reason why is because there's actually two ways to understand this. And he certainly held that there was no obligation to do the ritual washing prior to eating some bread that was less than a beitza in size. The question is why. So there's two possibilities. Either he understood that the halachas of washing are connected to the halachas of benching, and he's in a paskin that less than a kebeta doesn't require benching, as we've seen in a moment, as we already saw in the Mishnah actually, and therefore he'll hold also that the washing is not required since it's less than a beitza. The other approach is that the hand washing is connected to the rules of Tuma and Tahara. Indeed, the origins of having to wash before eating bread is how the Kohanim used to wash their hands prior to eating their Truma, etc. We also do the same before we eat our meal and our bread. Now, foodstuffs cannot become Tamei in a quantity less than a kebeitza, at least not midoraisa. So, and they certainly cannot convey Tuma in quantities less than a kebeitza. So that being the case, Rabbi Tzadok held that since this bread is not susceptible to becoming tamei midoraisa, there's no obligation to wash on it, to wash one's hands before touching it. Just a note that the halacha is that food, even at a kazayas, can become tamei, but that is just midorabanan. So anyways, we have two approaches here in what he was thinking, why did he need to have to wash his hands, alantilas yadayim, for taking the bread instead, either because it's connected to benching, which requires a kebeitza according to him, or it's because of tumantara, because it doesn't become tamei less than a beitza midoraisa. Either way, he didn't wash prior to eating it, and the reason why he held in the napkin just for the sake of not being mafsa the ochel, not making the food disgusting, because his hands were in fact dirty. second of all, va'achla chutz l'sukkah, he ate it outside the sukkah because he understood this is achilas arai, it's a snack, quantity of bread, and therefore it's permitted to eat outside the sukkah. Again, the Bar Tanur learns like the Rambam, even a little more, but the halachas know it has to be you're capped at the kebeitza outside the sukkah. And finally, v'lo berach al achrav, he didn't make the berach achrona after it. The midoraisa benching, the obligation kicks in only at tzviya, at satiety, when a person has had his eaten his full, as the pasuk says, v'achalta v'savata v'rachta, you'll eat, you'll be satisfied, and you'll bench. And therefore, anything less than satiety, satisfaction, doesn't require benching midoraisa, but midorabanan, there's a machlokas tanaim, whether it's after a kebeitza or after a kazayas. Rabbi Yehuda says a kebeitza, and that is how Rabbi Tzadok is learning. The halach, however, follows Rabbi Meir, that we bench even on a kazayas, midorabanan. But since here he holds like Rabbi Yehuda, and there's less than a kebeitza of bread being consumed, therefore he didn't say the bracha krona afterwards. He just said bracha rishona of hamotzi before it. Okay, halach lemais, let me just sum up here these things. First, as far as eating outside the sukkah. Eating outside of the sukkah, one is permitted to eat achilas arai outside the sukkah, which means even up to a kebeitza of bread, but one should do, it's praiseworthy to even drink water inside the sukkah, and certainly if one is eating mazonos food, foods made of the five grains, he ought to eat it inside the sukkah. If he's eating pas bavakistan or mazonos foods that are less than a kaviya suda, less than a kebeitza in size, it can get a little complicated beyond the scope of this. But in general, if you make a bracha, certainly if you're washing on bread inside the sukkah and mazonos, make a bracha on the food, and you must eat it inside from the beitza amount. Other foods, it's questionable if you do more than a beitza, meaning like eggs and cheese and meat. Certainly better to eat inside the sukkah, but no bracha. As far as fruits, one may eat any quantity outside the sukkah. They're always intrinsically considered to be arai. As far as bread washing brachas and benching go, so the important yisod, the principle is that the halachas that govern washing, bracha rishona, and benching are totally independent one from the other. Don't mix them up. Don't conflate them. Don't make them into a chant. As far as washing goes, the din is one must wash his hands before eating even a kazayas of bread. However, if one is eating less than a kebeitza or intends to eat less than a kebeitza, when he does his washing, he does not make the bracha al tilas yadayim. He just does the washing and no bracha. Bracha doesn't kick in until you're eating a kebeitza of bread. As far as bracha rishona goes, meaning making the bracha motzi and all brachas rishonos, those are obligated even at the smallest amounts. You're going to eat just one tic tac, you make a shakol, you want crouton, you have to make a motzi. even if you're not washing your hands, but you have to eat hamotzi, make hamotzi on that food, if it's bread. As far as benching goes, as we said before, we bench midorabanan from eating even one kazayas, and the benching kicks in midoraisa once you eat a amount of food, including bread, which fills you up.